capital cities are in chaos. Caracas,
Kiev,
on the streets of Bangkok.
The images are stunning. The atmosphere, it's deadly.
The violence tonight in Kiev is a lot like what we saw 3 years ago in Tahrir Square.
And it's hard not to think of Tahrir ablaze in 2011. But 3 years after protesters ousted Egyptian dictator Hosni Mubarak, the heat hasn't abated. This week, three Al Jazeera journalists appeared at a prison court in Cairo and pled not guilty to charges that included broadcasting false news and aiding a terrorist organization, namely the Muslim Brotherhood. As Peter Gresta, one of those Al Jazeera journalists, wrote in a letter from prison, one side is deemed terrorist, and talking to them is an act of treason. How do you accurately and fairly report on Egypt's ongoing political struggle without talking to everyone involved? The Oscar-nominated documentary The Square turns a lens on the Egyptian revolution and its aftermath through the eyes of three very different men. Since it screened at Sundance in 2013, it's been updated numerous times to reflect Egypt's never-ending story. The authorities haven't allowed the film to be shown in Egypt, though it's been viewed by well over a million Egyptians thanks to enterprising hackers. I interviewed director Jahan Nujaim and producer Karim Amer at a screening at the Paley Center in New York City. Here's an edited version of that talk, courtesy of the Paley Center for Media. The first voice you'll hear is Karim, who talked about some of the challenges the team encountered while making The Square.
It's very difficult to make a film when the director keeps getting arrested. And Jahan got arrested, what, 5 hours after landing?
There was a reason why I was arrested.
There's always an excuse.
There were these checkpoints, and so they searched the car and they found a film made in 2007 called Egypt, We're Watching You, Sheyfinkum, which was about three women fighting for change in Egypt. And so they took me in for questioning because it was not the best title, Egypt, We're Watching You, to find as the country is exploding by military intelligence.
How soon after the beginning of the protests did you get there?
I ended up getting there, I believe it was the 2nd of February, and the military were already down in the street. Karim was there from the first day.
You know, I went down actually as a skeptic, to be honest, and thank God I was completely wrong. Something fundamental shifted in that square during those first 18 days. When you live in a country where you feel that your story has already been written for you, it's one of the most crippling things you can do to people. And that was really Mubarak's biggest crime, is he killed the hope of generations of Egyptians. And what was found in that square was, for the first time, they would have the ability to write their story. Witnessing that, I think, changed all of us.
The criticism of the film you hear most often is that it's narrow in its focus. It represents slightly lefty, liberal crowd.
You're following the emotional journey of the character. You're not trying to be a news reporter. We chose three characters who we felt actually came from very different backgrounds, and we wanted to go as deeply into their emotional story as possible in order to allow an audience to feel like they had actually been walking in their shoes through the past 3 years.
Their stories, I mean, Magdi's story is so tragic, and Ahmed, I mean, what a character.
Ahmed, I fell in love with immediately. I mean, here was this street poet. He's somebody that grew up in Shubra, which is a very poor section of Cairo. His mother sold vegetables. His father died when he was a kid. He was the first person in the family to have gone to 2 years of education, but taken every job you could think of, from being a cook to cleaning houses. You know, so he was representative to me of many of the youth who had come down to the square to demand something different for their life. Magdi was sleeping in a tent near to ours. He was the first person who I had long conversations with in the Muslim Brotherhood. It was the first time he had told his family he was part of the Brotherhood. And he starts to question his relationship with the Brotherhood. He was going through this fascinating change. Khaled was somebody I met through Cressida, his wife.
He's the actor from Britain.
And he could have been anywhere in the world. But he decided that this was where he wanted to be. He's able to be incredibly articulate during very confusing moments.
We won't know if this revolution has succeeded for decades. There is no way in which the goals of this revolution, bread, freedom, social justice, dignity, there is no way in which those things can be achieved in 2 years. What you can do is lay the ground for them.
I don't think he knew he'd be waking up to a camera for the next 3 years, but that gave an intimacy to the film that we would never have gotten otherwise.
Was it really 3 years?
That was almost 3 years that we filmed and two years of editing.
When did you decide it was over?
Well, the first time was really when Morsi was elected, and that was sort of the political storyline. And it was a film that had three acts, and it made a lot of sense, and it was logical, from the bringing down of a president to the election of a new president. Yet we were on the way to Sundance with the film, and 2 weeks before we left, all of our characters were back in the streets, and Khaled was saying, "This is our freely elected leader that is using the tools of democracy to create another dictatorship." And it became a much more interesting story because it became about what it means to hold your government accountable, what it means to fight for true change. So we showed at Sundance, went back to Cairo, mm-hmm. and continued filming.
And the thing is also is that, you know, this is one of the most documented events in modern history, and it's one of the most important social events of the 21st century, and that's going to continue to be talked about. The problem in understanding this revolution and the problem why some people end up not having hope in Egypt is because we kind of live in this world where we get to see change's greatest hits. We see Gandhi liberating India. We see Martin Luther King saying, "I have a dream." We see Mandela ending apartheid. But we don't spend 20 years with Mandela when he's in jail and nobody believes in him. We don't see Martin Luther King when nobody believes in him. We don't see Gandhi when he's at his weakest moment. And so when we look at change as it's happening, we're disappointed that it's not fitting into the beginning, middle, and end. And as filmmakers, it was very difficult because we're trying to find a narrative arc, right? Now, how do you find a narrative arc when the climax starts in the first 2 minutes? The dictator fell. How are you going to beat that, right? So you don't really even know where you're going. So the only thing we could find is that these three people who come from completely different walks of life are united by one thing. All three of them are unwilling to give up that sense of authorship for the future of their country and continue to come back to that square. And we felt that this was important because there's something happening when we start to see this image that you just saw of this iconic now shot of a million people bringing a country to a standstill by occupying a square. And we look today at what's happening in Kiev, we see the same exact image. We look at Caracas last week, the same thing is happening. We look at Istanbul, and we start to realize that this isn't just the Arab Spring, winter, or summer. This is a global paradigm shift. When it started off in Egypt, it was a very lonely fight between the Egyptian dictator versus the Egyptian protester. But when all of you and the rest of the world started watching what was happening, you leveled the playing field. Your witness provided protection for us. And that's the way that we can change the world today.
You're good. In creating a film that had so many built-in challenges, what was the hardest part of it? What was the biggest surprise?
I think a lot of times the process artistically mirrors the subject, right? And it was very important for us to really have this be a collective effort. So there were a lot of voices involved in the editing of this film, which made for a very long, messy process. A lot of arguments, a lot of, if you take that scene out, you will destroy the revolution and the story of the revolution. A lot of that. A lot of talk about, don't worry, we have DVD extras and places where you can upload. And so that
have a lot of DVD extras.
So ultimately, it did become a dictatorship where I had to work with, you know, a final editor and finalize the film. But that process that we went through involving all of these people that cared so deeply in what was going on, it would not be the same film without that. And it didn't help, I mean, the process of shooting. I mean, we had 5 cameras confiscated. Mm. I was arrested 3 times. Everybody on the team was arrested or tear gassed.
Ahmed, the main character, actually learns how to film halfway through the film. And he actually shot a quarter of the movie, which was unbelievable to witness. And now he is working in Egypt as a DP.
I want to thank you both for being here.
Thank you so much.
Jahan Mujaim is the director and Karim Amer, the producer of The Square.
We're now living in the state of Tahrir. It has its housing department, it has its borders, it has its army, it has its way of feeding itself, it has all of those things. It doesn't have a foreign ministry.